88. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 83 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with New York Giants legend and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And knocked down again, it was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Hope. Wow. America's Arts Supports Experts. Man, I tried to jump the gun there, Chase. Tried to say, hope you guys are doing well before I finished even talking. Sorry, it's been one of those days. Hope you guys are doing well. Hope you guys are ready for another, well, it is going to be another exciting weekend. Hopefully it's exciting in the other way, right? The other way around. Because again, last weekend was exciting at this time. Then obviously Saturday came around and boy, that was that. But hope you guys are ready for it, man. But in the meantime, we will be getting you guys ready for it again tomorrow. Another Alabama matchup. This time coming in Tuscaloosa, right there at Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium. However, it's a night game. So make sure you guys are ready for that. I'll be honest with you, man. I'm not looking forward to doing like 1 a.m. post-game show. That's going to be a little tough, but I guess I don't really drink coffee, but I don't know. I had to get something in my system, Chase. But typically, man, what, 6:45 game ends around 11 or so sometimes, 10-something. So our post-game show, again, I do the official Alabama post-game show on the Crimson Tide Sports Network with Gray Robertson. You can catch us, if you still are up, around 11:30, maybe midnight. So we'll definitely be breaking down what goes on tomorrow evening against ULM, right? I know you're thinking ULM. Well, listen, there still should be stuff to break down, and we'll talk about what we're looking forward to in this game. Not going to be a whole bunch about those guys, more so about us, but definitely looking forward to talking about it. Plus, a couple other things just around the world in football news, Chase. I don't know how much you caught of that Dallas Eagles game, but the NFL season kicked off last night. Definitely was really excited to see some NFL action. I'll say this, man. Our guys, our Bama guys, showed out. Jalen Hurts had a big game, leading his team to victory last night. Two rushing touchdowns. And did he end up throwing one in? I can't remember. I don't know if he ended up throwing one. I'll have to pull it up. But anyway, he had a good game. Definitely looked really good. I personally feel like you could definitely tell the absence of Micah Parsons out there. Obviously, man, Jalen looked like he had a lot of time back there. Nobody really was really forcing a lot of pressure on him. I mean, there's a couple of times he faced some pressure, but I mean, I genuinely feel like Dallas felt the absence of Micah Parsons last night. And I mean, look, Kenny Clark, good player. I think he, you know, obviously, I think he had a half sack, but really good player, really. I mean, I thought he was, I guess he was a difference maker, but to me, Micah Parsons is different. And to give that type of player up that young, we'll see if it really ends up coming back to bite them. But yeah, I personally feel like there's a difference in that game. Jahad Campbell, former Alabama linebacker, looked really good. I don't know if you got to pay attention to that, Chase, but he was all around the field, had some really big plays in the game. One that comes to mind, I retweeted it because it was a cover two defense, which means, right, the middle of the field is your vulnerabilities. And typically, you know, inside backers are taught, you know, you got to help your guys out because it's split safety coverage. So your safeties, they're on the, you know, they're playing the halves, right? So the inside backers, even though you're more of you know, a hook curl type player, you end up having to take vertical routes to, you know, help your safeties out. Well, he did it perfectly, man, played it perfect, made a nice play on the ball, but it really just displayed his athleticism, you know, his ability to really just make a huge difference. Because again, in cover two, like, you know, a lot of backers, they don't have the athleticism to really run down the seams like that with some of these guys, and he made it look effortless. But he also was in with another former Bama guy. I don't know who got credit for the forced fumble, but Byron Young and Jahad kind of met at the same time. Looked like both their hands might have got a piece of the football. Maybe they'll be fighting over who gets the stat right there. But anyway, a number of Bama guys playing well in the game. Steen, right, former Alabama tackle. He's now starting right guard. Then you got the star left guard, Landon Dickerson, another former Alabama player. So many Bama guys on the field last night. My dad said he caught part of the game until the weather delay. Did you even see any lightning? To me, I was confused. I didn't really see any. Did you see it, like, while they were playing or anything?
Yeah, there was lightning. The road is like five or 6 miles away. They showed a picture of it hitting up in towards New Jersey, because Philadelphia's not far from New Jersey at all. So it was definitely lightning in the area. And, they have that rule. They have to get the players off the field and get people to a safe location. But it's about 57 minutes, I think, or plus to warm up, plus 12, 15 minutes to warm back up. But I switched over. I wasn't going to sit there and wait on the football game. I can catch it on the replay. It was a good first half. I thought, all those drives were, the offense on both teams were really, really good. And defensively, the Eagles came up with a crucial stop, which became the big play in the game when Dallas was on the way to score again. And the former Eagle running back, forget his name right now, but fumbled the ball, recovered by Philly, and that turned out to be extremely valuable and important in that ball game. But glad to see the Grown Man Football League back on TV Thursday night. Tonight, Kansas City and San Diego. I like to go L.A. Chargers, so I like to call them San Diego. But they're playing from over the pond, which will be a good game. See Patrick Mahomes in action. The thing I like about Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes is the fact that Andy Reid lets those guys or make those guys play in preseason, whereas a lot of these guys won't play one down now in preseason. Where Kansas City, from preseason number one, they have been playing football. And I think that helps them as they get into game one, because they still have that fast play. You know, it's not going to be foreign to them. They're not going to have to try to, remember how to play the game at that pace, so to speak, or at that speed. So I do like that about, Andy Reid. Even if it's a couple of drives, you get out there and you have some plays where you go full throttle. And so I like that about Kansas City. And I like, what Harbaugh is doing too with the Chargers, and I think he's a great football coach. So should be another great football game on tonight as we get ready for all the games around the country on Saturday. But it's that time of the year, man, that you get up, there's a brisk in the air, right? It's cool. You get up in the morning with your coffee, it's like you got to put a little nice little hoodie on, and it feels like fall, man. And it's like, man, it's football season, and I just love it. You just smell that brisk in the air. And it's like, yeah, we are here finally the next 3.5-4 months. It's almost football about every single day, and I love it. And I love it. I love it. I love it. So I'm excited about the NFL. It should be a very intriguing year. One thing about those two teams last night, kind of like Dallas. Kind of like the Roll Tide, Alabama Crimson Tide. How they played against Florida State. Philadelphia don't have a defense anymore. They lost 10 guys, I think, off their defense, plus the coordinator. And Dallas don't have a pass rush. Their secondary has some question marks. Their linebackers are okay. They got a rookie in there. But neither one of these defenses, at least right now, and I know it's early, I know it's the first game, but, man, they were unimpressive. Both those defenses. They couldn't stop a common cold when they played last night.
I mean, week one, we'll see how it develops. But I agree with you. I do think the Eagles, they definitely look a lot different. Darius Slay leaving, I think, is definitely going to have an impact on that secondary. And I will say, the rookies that they drafted, the DB they got, and obviously Jihad, I think they'll be good pieces for him. But you could tell, I'm not going to lie, the first half, you could tell, some nerves, knocking the rust off a little bit, maybe kind of getting their feet wet. Second half, they definitely looked a lot more comfortable out there. But I will say this. I want to get your thoughts on this, and even everybody listening, our listeners on radio and on the chat. How about the start of the game? That might have been one of the craziest starts to any game, any season that I've ever seen. First play of the game, a guy runs down on kickoff, and it apparently blows his knee out, right? It was a non-contact thing. I hate it for him, and you can just tell by the look on his face. He knew it wasn't great. And to literally the first play of the football game, running down on kickoff, non-contact. I hate that, man. But it happens in football. But I guess just like the likelihood of that being the case on the first play, hate that, man. And then this is what I want y'all's thoughts on. What is the whole deal with the Jalen Carter thing? Now, right, initially on the broadcast, everybody was just like, what the hell just happened? He just got thrown out, ejected. I was like, man, did he throw a punch or something? Nobody saw. Allegedly, he spat on Dak Prescott. They had it the slow-mo, which was disgusting. I didn't want to watch that a million times. But then more information comes out. They've got clips of Dak allegedly spitting on the ground. But here's the thing, though. From the side angle, when you see Jalen kind of walking up, which Dak claims in the press conference, Jalen Carter was chirping at Tyler Booker, right? Rookie offensive guard, right? That he's about to line up against. Georgia guy, Bama guy. He definitely was trying to get in his head, allegedly, according to Dak. But Dak did spit first. But from the side angle, they're like 5 yards apart, even with Dak walking forward, because Dak never, you know, crossed, you know, his linemen. They're like in a huddle, right? And it was, you know, directed towards the ground. But see, when they changed the camera angle to show Dak spitting, it makes it look like Jalen Carter is much closer than he really was. So to me, like, here's the thing, because a lot of people are like, oh, well, Dak initiated it. The way I perceived it was, Dak, it almost reminded me of the Drewski skit that just came out where he was doing the whole, he painted himself like a white NASCAR fan. It was crazy. Some people, it was whatever. But anyway, to me, I thought he was just spitting on the ground. And obviously, he might have been kind of just spitting almost, I'm not saying like to trigger the dude, but he wasn't spitting on the dude. Definitely could have been somewhat of a little bit of a disrespectful tactic, antic, whatever you want to call it. But what'd you think about that? I mean, obviously, Jalen Carter clearly spit on Dak. And everybody, I saw Keyshawn Johnson. I saw all these people posting and, you know, just basically saying how immature and how much of an idiot this guy is. But then we learned that Dak was, you know, exchanging words and spit on the ground, right? What was your whole thought on that whole situation? Because I'm still kind of, obviously, Jalen Carter, you spit on somebody like that, or even, let's talk about it like this, it's always the guy that retaliates, even like during the game. You know, the one guy can push a guy, but it's always the second man that gets that penalty. You got, and you know that, right? And the ref's sitting right there watching you spit on this man. So, I mean, he deserved to get kicked out or whatever the case may be. But do you feel like Dak deserves a little bit of blame here after seeing that camera angle that he also spit, even though it was on the ground and they were a little bit more separated?
No. There's a difference between spitting on the ground and spitting on somebody. I mean, that's a dumb thing by Jalen Carter. You expose your team to you know, really playing the way they play. I mean, you're the best defensive player on that football team, and you do something so idiotic to get yourself thrown out, which hurts your football team. Listen, we chirp, man. That's what the NFL is. That's chirping going on, and I've seen guys, you know, Bill Romanowski, I remember from the Denver Broncos, he was bad about spitting on people. First of all, if you spit on me, I'm going to be thrown out. I mean, you can see it right here. I mean, you know, Dak just spitting on the ground. But he's not spitting that. Dak does that. A lot of players do that, man. They spitting, you know, they got adrenaline. They got stuff happening. But that's just dumb from them to put your team in that position and being just stupid. Listen, if you want to spit on him, spitting is when you freaking hit him in the mouth and sack him. And I'm not literally mean spit on him. I'm just saying, this stuff happens. Let him chirp. Let him talk noise. Let him spit on the ground. Yippity-doo. That's nothing. And so I'm just really just looking at a player saying, okay, you're being selfish. It's about you now. And I understand the back and forth. We played that way. And I like playing that way. But to disrespect somebody, to go spit on them. I mean, spitting on somebody, brother, that's a whole nother level. Push me. You can even punch me. But spitting on me, that is like you are the worst thing of the worst. When you spit on somebody, like, dude, when somebody spit, I mean, that is the lowest you could ever go. If somebody spit on me, bro, you might as well not just kick me out the game. Go ahead and call the local county jail and tell them had a truck out there in the breezeway to pick me up, because I'm gonna have a massive problem with that. I mean, that is the worst sign of disrespect. Yeah, throw a punch at me, push me in the back, whatever. That's football. We do that. But when you go spit on somebody, you take this thing to a whole different level of disrespect, and therefore we got to fight. Now, Dak is not going to fight Jalen Carter, but I don't even care. I mean, he might, based on the size differential, He might beat me down, but boy, I'm gonna get some street cred for trying. I'm gonna hit you in a place where you probably don't like to be here to kick you in. We're gonna have a problem. And that's the thing. That has zero place in sports. It has zero place in football, especially in National Football League. These are grown men. And he would probably, you know, we would discuss this further, because I'd probably be waiting on him after the game. I mean, it would be that for me. I know I would have a hard time digesting that one. But overall, dumb play by Jalen Carter. Could have cost his team a victory there. And I'm sure the league and his team, I think he should get fined.
At the bare minimum, he's getting a fat old fine on his team. When he gets to his chair on when it normally is, what, like a Monday or Tuesday, whenever, he's going to have a fat old fine sitting on that seat in his locker, 100%. Yeah. Now, suspension, I'm not sure. They maybe, but I feel like here's the thing. I think the fact that he already missed this whole game, because, again, I mean, this was before the game even started, I think they're going to say that's enough of a punishment. So I do think a big old fine's coming. I'll just say this. You talked about Dak maybe kind of defending himself. I don't know if you guys remember this, but Dak was caught on video getting in a brawl down in, like, PCB years ago, when I think he was still a quarterback at Mississippi State. And he got the hands put on him. I ain't going to lie to you. They roughed him up pretty good, man. I felt bad for him. It's actually pretty sad. He was, like, stumbling around afterwards. I can't remember if he got jumped or if it was him and somebody. I don't know. But down at the beach, man, it was when he was at Mississippi State. I don't know if you remember this, but I remember that.
I forgot about that incident.
That was spring break.
It's a long time ago, but it was down at spring break, man. So I wouldn't recommend him getting in anything, especially with a dude like Jalen Carter. But I just was curious your thought. And you guys in the chat, man, I'd love to get y'all's comments on that, because I just thought that was the craziest way to start the NFL season, the first game, all that stuff. But like I said, it ended up being a pretty decent game. And
Eagles got the bill. More than decent. That was a great game. But anyway.
Yeah, no, it was really good. People need to give Dak some credit. Listen, Dak did what he could, too. I know Dak gets a lot of flack, right? Not trying to rhyme. Sound like Dr. Seuss there. But he played a good game, man. CD's got to step up.
CD Lamb. Here's another thing. Going back to what I said about Alabama. You're holding out. You're asking for all of this money. Right? Mm-hmm. Be the highest paid or one of the top two or three highest paid at your position in the National Football League. And you get into games like this, especially down the clutch there where they could have tied the game at least. Right? Or got one by one or went in for it. They had to go for a touchdown, obviously, but it was 24-20. But you dropped a beautifully thrown ball by Dak. I mean, you dropped it. You dropped some other passes. So that's my thing. You asking for this kind of money, then your results has to count, man. Right? Your results should mean something. You dropped them kind of passes, okay. Now we're going to take away a meal. We're going to take away a few hundred thousand.
Because good God.
We paying you big money, bro, to make these types of catches, and then you're going to go in these games and then drop these kind of balls, and then, you know, all the stuff, the theatrics that you were dealing with during the course of the game, and, you know, every time you make a catch, you got to do something. I mean, it drives me nuts. Everybody catch a pass. They got to, you know, first down.
You got to add a little flair. You got to add a little flair to it.
They got to do it. Like, bro, this is what you're getting paid to do. I mean, these kids drive me nuts, man. They wouldn't have made it.
You're not a fan?
But anyway.
Y'all didn't do that? Y'all didn't have any the first down celebrations to wipe your nose?
No.
No one celebrated first down back then?
No. Not when I played. I can't remember anybody on my team.
I'm going to have to pull it up.
O.J. Anderson, Steven, the Baker, the touchdown maker, Mark Ingram, my boys, you know, whomever. Howard Cross, you know, we get first downs. They don't sit on me.
Oh, don't they? Be careful, Dad. Don't do that too much.
I don't even know what that means.
Down in Atlanta, it definitely has some significance, probably, that we probably shouldn't do or do.
So that's another thing. If it's something that bad you can't say, then why players doing it?
No. It was affiliated with, like, some gang stuff initially, but also, like, musically, it was a thing, right? So I think it initially started as kind of like some gang stuff, and then, you know, worked its way into the music industry. So everybody was doing it. So you're fine. But I'm just saying, technically, I think the origins of it, which I never understood why, you know, football player, because I'm not going to lie, I think I did that celebration one time in college. Then, but again, I didn't really know the origins of it. I'm thinking it was just, you know, from the music stuff.
Well, but yeah, you do it because somebody else doing it.
Everybody was doing it, right?
I think everybody. Yeah. If everybody can jump out of an airplane, that means you're going to go jump out. Like, nah, man, come on, people.
Absolutely not.
Grow up, man. Make your money. Be professional. Enjoy the game. Love the game. It's a blessing. And a lot of these young kids today don't really understand what the blessing that they have. And they, I think they take advantage of it. Hey, Crystal Jones from Lexington, South Kakalaki, represent here in the chat. Crystal Jones.
We got a bunch of people
representing. She's a big, and her and her husband, a big Alabama fan. I met them actually at a cigar shop in Columbia, South Carolina. They actually own a cigar shop, I believe, in Aiken or Augusta, but a huge, huge Alabama Crimson Tide fan. When you were playing, that's when I think I met them. And I'm sitting them down there at a game before, so appreciate her joining. She's in the chat every day.
Yeah, I appreciate everybody hanging out in the chat on YouTube again at The Miller's Edge, listening via Tide 100.9 app, radio dial, all that good stuff over on Facebook as well. Appreciate all our listeners.
Hey, what's one up? Thing. Maybe we'll talk about this when we come back. I knew this was going to happen. It's called, I'm going to give you this, the initials, POM. I knew the POM was going to occur. Hmm? I know it was.
The POM.
Know what that is?
I do not.
Players only meeting. I knew this was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. And they are the worst thing ever. That lets me know we're defeated. They profit nothing. They get in there.
You said this last time, and I told you, listen. It can be beneficial. And listen, things turned around last time. So I'm just saying, like,
when?
Last time we got into this about this, was it after the Texas game? Might have been after the Texas game 2 years ago. I can't remember. Yeah. We got into it. I told you, man, they can be effective and they can be beneficial. We'll talk about that and plenty more Alabama, because I know a lot of people are waiting for some Alabama talk. We'll get into it. Just had to talk a little bit about the NFL because, again, we both played in the league. We enjoy some NFL football. It's football, man. Football's back. Fun to talk about it. But we got to dive into some Alabama talk. We'll talk about that with POM, Players Only Meeting. Talk about what we need to see out of this ULM matchup again. It's going to be talking about Alabama. I mean, with all due respect, I tried to go watch some tape on ULM. We're going to focus on Alabama.
They beat Nick Saban back in 2007.
And that's like their only claim to fame. I could be wrong. They might have some special thing from like the 40s. All these other teams are claiming championships from the 40s and stuff all of a sudden. Auburn. But all right, we got to hit a timeout. We come back. We dive into that. 205-342-9904 is the number to the phone lines. We got plenty to dive into when we come back right here on the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9.
Efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-914.
Tuscaloosa, cdjr.com, and by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at dchsystem.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into this free-for-all Friday edition of the Miller's Edge. Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts, home of those premium art sports designed to eliminate and alleviate all types of pain, whether it's foot pain, knee pain, back pain, you name it. They will take care of it and take care of you right there at the Good Feet Store. Make sure you guys check them out. Midtown Village is where you can find them here in Tuscaloosa. Or you can always go to their website, goodfeet.com, and type in your zip code, find the nearest location to you. They're nationwide. And again, they are doing the Kicking for Cash Challenge starting tomorrow. So if you're at the game, make sure you guys find a way to get access to that or get involved in that. Because again, who does not like free cash, right? And that is presented by the Good Feet Store, just like we are here on the Miller's Edge. So make sure you guys check them out. But again, seriously, if you are in dealing with any type of pain and you're wondering where to start, check them out. Everything starts from the ground up. These things are game changers, especially tomorrow. You're probably going to be on your feet all day walking around. That is really where it comes to use, really every day, all day. But for me, it is a game changer for somebody that's always on my feet. So check them out, man. Again, that is the Good Feet Store, improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. Ragged, I see you on the phone lines. I promise we're going to get to you, right? Just let us just at least intro this whole ULM talk real quick, because I know he just brought something up that was interesting, right? So again, not going to dive too deep into ULM themselves, the personnel and all that. I'll just be honest with you. I was trying to watch them. It doesn't even matter in this game, right? It's all about what we do. And we were talking during the timeout here with our YouTube and Facebook stream about normally the way these games work is this. These teams come in here, first couple drives, right? Doesn't matter if they're a spread offense. Doesn't matter if they do all these different things. Normally they come in here, they operate their offense for a couple drives. And then they kind of just get to a game plan where they want to shorten the game. They start running the ball, a bunch of just inside zone, right? Some, you know, quick screens, quick slant, just some things to try to just move the football, run the clock, because they really don't expect to win. Now, if you give them some hope, obviously they'll open some things back up. But I was kind of thinking in my head, yeah, that's what you expect of this game tomorrow, right? But then my dad made an interesting point. He said, yeah, that's typically how that goes. But you don't think they watched last week's game and might say, hey, we probably anticipated taking that approach, but we actually might think we have a chance. I'll be honest with you. That was interesting. And the more I think about it, maybe they do keep that playbook open a little bit longer than usual. But the reality is, I don't think they have a chance one bit, to be honest with you. I think, like you just mentioned, with all the disrespect, all the talk that's out there right now about this team, these players, hell, you got the beat reporters asking them, like, hey, man, like, people are calling you guys soft. What do you guys think? If somebody asked me that question, like one of these beat reporters, I mean, like, I think I would have probably lost it, right? I mean, if these dudes don't have the biggest chip on their shoulder of their careers, I don't know how else you get motivated to go out there and play somebody, right? I'm hoping that's what we see. I hope that's how this team responds. I expect them to respond that way. I almost feel bad for ULM, because like you just said, as a football player, the worst thing that you can get called is soft. I mean, like, people can say, oh, you're slow. Oh, you made a mental error. Oh, whatever the case. Oh, you dropped the ball. But when someone calls you soft, especially as a defender, man, it just hits. It hits different. I mean, because I remember when I was a true freshman, I was 210 pounds, and I remember we would be doing indie drills, and literally, I'm over here trying to give. I'm going hard. I wasn't soft. I literally was doing everything how I was coached to do it, and I was, you know, I thought I'm doing it just fine. But obviously, I didn't have that. I didn't pack the same punch as Denzel and Xavier Dixon, who are 260 pounds. I remember Coach Thompson, Lance Thompson, was our coach at the time. He'd just be chewing that ice. He said, like, two times in my indie drill, just, it's like 30, 40, it's soft, but you couldn't bust a grate. And it was BS, because it was literally a reach drill or something. We were, like, working with each other. And so part of it, too, was, like, I'm not trying to, like, take my teammate's head. I was working with Josh Dickerson. He's a walk-on at the time. But anyway, I just remember when he said that, though, it really lit something in me where I'm like, bro, this dude's going to stop calling me soft, especially in front of my teammates. And so it actually kind of did work, right? Because I remember we actually went out to, you know, not team drills, but, you know, when I actually was going against other people other than my other outside linebackers, I wanted to prove a point. I wanted to send a message. What I'm getting at is that's like the ultimate disrespect. And the national media has been just going on a tear about this team. I expect them to come out there and play like that. And I think they need to. We had Slade on here, and he talked about yesterday. Like, what do you need to see out of this team, you know, in this game, right? Forget ULM and all that. Forget even what we do schematically. I could care less about that. I want to see these guys come out with the fire from the moment that ball kicks off until that damn clock hits zero. And I don't care if it's a 1, 2, 3, 4, hell, even a walk-on. Everybody should have that same damn mentality, that same tempo, that same intensity throughout the course of the game and not let up, because you have to start building that right now. Because we all know this game doesn't really mean crap. Wisconsin, I don't think they're going to be great either. But when you go on that road to Georgia, that's when it really matters, and that's when you really see what you're made of. And I think they have to start reestablishing those core values, those core fundamentals, right? From a mentality standpoint, the intangibles, even all the way to the physical pieces, right? Taking proper angles, striking guys, violently shedding guys, right? Wrapping up, tackling better. That, like, I want to see that. That's what I'm paying attention to. I could care less about stats, numbers, how many touchdowns we score. Hell, I don't even really care how many interceptions or whatever. Like, unless they're doing it with good technique. But I really want to focus on all those little details and see if they're really getting back to that. Because we've heard them talk about, you know, oh, we know what we need to do. You mentioned the players only meeting. I want to see how that shows up. I'm just tired of, like, the talk. I'm tired of, you know, practice being good and then, okay, not showing up in the game. I want to see that come Saturday. And I think AJ was saying, and that's what we used to always say, doesn't matter who it is, the logo, the brand, the jersey, none of that crap matters, right? All that matters is what we do. And that's what I'm hoping to see. And you also mentioned players only meeting. I know you're not a big fan of them. I'll just say this. Whenever we had them, I feel like it actually was effective, right? Like, for me, when we had one, what year was it? I know we had one, I think around like 2015. I'll have to ask Coker. Because I know we lost to Ole Miss 2 years in a row because we lost in 14. Then we lost again in 15 at home. I feel like we had one then because everybody was talking about the same thing. Alabama's done. They lost 2 years in a row to Ole Miss, blah, blah, blah. We didn't have a quarterback figured out. They finally went with Jake, and we stuck with him for the rest of the year. We ended up winning the national championship. So that really, I mean, to me, I don't know if I'd put everything on the players-only meeting, but I did feel like there was a sense of like, all right, we need to lock in and get our stuff together. Then I know we had one, was it 20, I think it might have been around like 2017. It might have been 2017. And we ended up winning the national championship, but I can't remember exactly what the details were. But I just know, for me, in my experience, when we had those, it wasn't like just rah-rah guys getting up and saying whatever. This was more like we were calling each other out. We'd kick the coaches out of the room. We'd tell them, get the hell out of here. Y'all go sit in the office, go chew tobacco, go drink coffee for 10 minutes. And we would have guys stand up and literally point at somebody and be like, yo, get your ass together. That's not how we do things. Yo, that's not what we're going to do around here. You've been playing like crap. You've been practicing like crap. You keep showing up and doing this. You have no F, like, and it would just be, it was calling guys out, like, to their face. And they had a chance to respond. And then there was some arguing there. It got a little loud in there. But it was one of those things where you just had to get it off your chest, call people out, put them on the spot. And then we ended up kind of having a new, I don't know, not mentality, but just kind of moving forward. It was like, all right, it's understood now, right? Like, sometimes when you go, when you start doing stuff so much, it becomes mundane. It becomes almost like you just go through the motions. You know what I mean? And I think sometimes you have to reassess and address stuff like that. And for us, I think it was effective, personally. I can't speak on your player-only meetings. I don't know how y'all's were, you know, back in the day or whatever. But I'm saying, but why though? Why do you think it's so bad? Why?
You know, you said a whole lot of nothing.
No, I did not. I'm speaking from experience. How are you going to tell me about experience? Come
listen, on. Man. All that stuff is good. But it's good on the sidelines. Don't come in the meeting room and then start yelling and screaming and trying to call some... Call their tail out during the game. Where were you, leader? Where were you when on that sideline in Tallahassee, Florida, where was you when you were getting your butt drunk? Mm. So don't come in the meeting room now and all of a sudden when everybody in America is telling you how awful you are, you want to do a POM, a players only meet. No, bro. Listen, you want to lead? Don't lead by lip service. Lead by what you do on the field and on game day, right?
Okay.
Give me that meeting. So I don't want to hear nothing you got. Matter of fact, there ain't nobody in that locker room that can go in that meeting and tell me anything. Maybe Jeremy Bernard, whatever his name is, the receiver. Other than that, there ain't nobody else in that on that team that is going to tell me anything. There's not, because... You don't have the receipts. You don't have the street cred to tell me anything. And normally, it's just a bunch of puffed up, you know, testosterone driven people just blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but what happened on that jet sweep? What happened when it was third and four? What happened on that coverage dive? What happened on the missed tackles that you had? What happened, guys? Mm. What happened when that quarterback who called you out and said, you don't have Nick Saban to save you anymore? Why didn't that prompt you to go respond? But after game one, when you get drug and people, peers, are calling you soft, which is the worst thing that any player can be called in this great game called football or whatever physical game you play. Mm. That's horrible. That talks about you as the end of your heart. That's a heart issue. That's a mind issue. All I'm saying is, don't give me that. Dude, go out there and practice. Go out there and make yourself better. And then come out. Because this game on tomorrow is not about ULM. This game is about you, the University of Alabama. Mm-hmm. How are you going to respond? I don't care nothing about the score. They only have to keep scoring for me. I want to see the physical. For real. I want to see your 11 hats surrounding the football on defense. I yes, want sir. To see an offensive line drive them defensive tackles and smash their head in the dirt. Mm. I want to see backs run through tackles. I want to see Ryan Williams, you know, paint your fingernails and all this stuff. Once you talk about, worry about catching the ball. Maybe if your fingernails, maybe you should go clear coat. I don't know. But, dude, catching the ball? So I don't want to hear nothing else about podcast, players only meeting. You just go play. And so that's all I'm saying. That's the mentality every week going forward. Until then, I ain't believing. I don't even listen to that press conference no more. I'm not listening to Kalen DeBoer no more. Oh, there's a bunch of good guys in here. That's your problem. You got too many good guys. I'm sorry. Yeah, me as a pastor saying that. You better get somebody with a little bit of truth. You better get you some thugs, corn roll, chicken, and collard green tomatoes, and some dudes in that locker room that'll fight back when they get busted in the mouth. You better go find you some of them dudes, right? To go along with your kumbaya nice guys. I'm just saying. And that's the problem that people are looking at Alabama, everybody that I talk to. Y'all got me embarrassed right here because they know I pull for Alabama. Boy, you, what happened? They asked me all these crowds. Man, they're terrible. This is what people are saying. Mm. I mean, this is what you put on display. When you put it on the tape, the big eye in the sky, that's who you are. Denny Green said, you are who we thought you are, right? Mm. Who you were. And so that's who people think Alabama is. They have to change that narrative. Players only meeting is not going to change that narrative. Busting people in the mouth, beat man-to-man coverage, breaking tackles, playing on the other side of the offensive line, tackle for losses. How about getting some sacks? That would be good.
Yeah.
That's going to change people's mind, not the player only meet. So, yeah, because they have nobody based on Saturday that should stand up and talk to anybody about y'all need to do. Because I'm trying to figure out who did something besides Jeremy Bernard. That I would sit here and go, that might be one dude that if I had a team, I would take. The rest of them, y'all can go down to with Coach Cochran down there. I mean, go down to
come on,
Jacksonville.
Man. Come
on. But y'all playing like you need to be at Jacksonville State and some of them other colleges. I mean, y'all did not. You know, they play like they, 4 and 5. No, y'all play like zero stars. The majority of you had zero stars. So now it's up to you to go change that narrative, right? Because you got Bama fans. Everybody's pulling for you on that far as Alabama's concerned. But talking means nothing. Don't talk. Go play. That's all I'm saying. Don't have players on the meetings. Just go practice, work out, get yourself stronger. Do those things that you need to do. The basic fundamentals, work on it. Get better and go bust them in the mouth.
Fair.
If I'm the coach, that's all I'm telling them. Don't talk to me about nothing else. And if you don't do it, I don't care if it's a freshman, but I'm going to play somebody that will give me that will leave everything on the field. Even if we lose, leave it on the field.
That's fair. Let me just throw this in there. Because I hear what you're saying, and I see where you're going with the players only meeting. But my thing would be, don't imagine the guys that played terrible to be the ones stepping up and talking a whole bunch and saying, like, obviously – those will be the guys being addressed and being called out, right? So, like, there's step number one. So imagine like Tim Keenan, who we know is a very good leader. He couldn't play. He's going to be fired up because he couldn't be out there. He was sitting here back in Tuscaloosa, just got done with his, you know, his little quick operation, having to watch. And he was texting those guys, peed off, right? So imagine like him standing up, getting on those guys. A guy like Ty, who was trying, made his mistakes, did not play perfect, right? But he was trying. He was playing hard. Him stepping up, he's a leader, right? I thought Parker Brailsford had a really good game if you go back and watch the tape, right? But did he get beat once or twice? Of course, it's football. But for throughout the majority of the game, he played hard, did a good job. Imagine him stepping up. He's a captain on this team. You get what I'm saying? Jeremy Bernard.
Step up in the game.
No, 100%. And I was going to say, I do agree with you, though, that you do need to see that during the game. You need to see those guys, you know, lighting up the sideline during the game, right? Everybody, you know, being held accountable on the sidelines, not just staring at the iPad, having those people step up during the game.
Man, I'm sorry. Listen, these chats are making me laugh.
I know. The chat is hilarious. Shout out to the chat. But no, listen, I agree. That I do 100% agree with. There needs to be that accountability and that intensity on the sidelines, on the field, 24/7, not just in a players only meeting. But what I'm saying is you can effectively use a players only meeting to have that come to Jesus moment to address people. Again, take the guys that are doing it right, that have been doing it right, and have them address the people that weren't doing it right in front of everybody's ass. That way it's not like, oh, let me point this out. Let me call this guy after practice. Hey, bro, like, bro, you got to run harder. Nah, man, do it in front of everybody. There's no hiding anymore, right? Address everybody. All right, and
why wouldn't the coach call them out?
No, I agree with you on that, too.
Oh, yeah, we have a bunch of nice guys in this locker room that really care. We have a ton of nice guys.
But listen, but part of it, listen, yeah. I'm with you. But part of me is under the impression that obviously he's never going to throw his guys on the bus in the media. He did kind of jump on him after the game, after Florida State. I mean, what you hear is not 24/7.
Dabo's funny. I'm just saying. Call some of his guys out against. He called their tail out.
Yeah. No, I mean, some people do. Nate Oates.
Money.
I mean, listen, Nate Oates is not afraid to do it. It doesn't matter if you're the best player on the team. Nate Oates will say, if your ass played bad, you played bad. He will let the whole world know.
You're getting it right. It's making it rain. Yo, listen, Louis Vuitton, Gucci, Chargers, Superchargers, Benzes, MLCL. Listen, your ear going to get called out. You're going to be on display. You know, this is the guy. What's the name of y'all NIL thing again?
Who?
Yay, Alabama.
Oh, yeah.
Yay,
yeah.
Alabama. This is the guy y'all are doing this to. Here you go. Let me roll the tape. Roll the tape. Look at this. No, call the NIL because we got to get past amateurism and start saying, oh, these are a bunch of great young men. No, you're not an amateur no more. This is wrong, this whole NCAA. You're getting paid more than the average person out here going, getting their tail up 5 o'clock in the morning, going to slave in a hot kitchen or cleaning schools or picking up trash. You're getting paid by most people that's got scholarships and masters. You're making more money than these people.
You're making more money than the coaches and administrators sometimes.
I'm just saying. So you're not an amateur no more. I'm not treating you like you're 17. No. You're making more money than the average United States citizen on average. So that means, guess what? Your end getting called out. Because if that's what it takes to get you to play at a certain level, then that's going to happen. And if you don't like it, then go to Vanderbilt. Then go to one of these other schools, Boise State. Go. I don't want you. Oh, if you can't take constructive criticism and tough love, you need to pack them Louis Vuitton bags up, Gucci, and go. Go. That's all I'm saying. This is the mindset. All I'm saying, the mindset, Christian. It's got to change. It's a new era, bro. You're getting paid a lot of money.
True.
No, not to sit in your comfort zone. No, you're not. We can't be comfortable no more because as a coach, I got to bring guys in that wants to win, that can appreciate getting paid and appreciate all the love that they're getting from said school. And if you don't like it, please go. Please go somewhere else and play because it ain't working. This marriage ain't working out. So that's all I'm saying, bro. This is what I hope they hear. Just like a coach called me the other day, he said, Corey, that stuff you said the other day, I'm letting all my coaches hear. Because you know what? These coaches agree with everything I'm saying. Money got away of making some powder puff football players, right? They more about the likes and the clicks and nail polish and all these funny clothes they wear. They get caught up in all of that and they lose the toughness and heart. That's what's happening. That's what money will do. That's what money will do. But if you start cutting them, if you start hooking them cars up to that tow truck, their attitude gonna change. If you take away when the performance is not there, I promise you, mindset, heart, and attitude will change.
Well, that's what happens in the NFL. I mean, you can sign a big contract all you want, but if you're not performing, you get cut. I mean, you walk away with some of that money, but whatever's not guaranteed, they're taking it back. So
it's fine.
That's fair. All right, we got to hit this top of the hour break. Ragged, I promise we'll come to you as soon as we come back from this top of the hour break. We'll get some phone calls and we'll continue talking about this Alabama football team. A tiny bit about ULM, maybe. I don't know. We'll get you guys ready for the weekend. That's all that matters. And we'll see if we get Reagan from R&R Cigars on here for his smoking hot picks. All that coming up right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide under 0.9, 1230 WTBC. Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
365, 24/7. You'll find road and utility crews, tow truck, law enforcement, and first responders working along Alabama's roadway.
We're making improvements and helping our communities stay connected.
We're working hard to make sure you're safe on the road. Now we need your help to make sure we're safe too.
Alabama's move over law requires you to move over a lane when you see flashing lights on the road.
Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at ethos.com/play. That's ethos.com/play.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, Monsi Bolaños.
The first game of the NFL's regular season had a little bit of everything, including a weather delay as the Eagles defeated the Cowboys 24-20. But before the first snap, Eagles defensive tackle Jalen Carter was ejected for unsportsmanlike conduct after he spit on Dallas quarterback Dak Prescott. Video later surfaced showing that Prescott spit in the direction of Carter first.
I probably spit 1,000 times throughout the game. I mean, especially game day, maybe even in general. It's something I guess I'm not proud of. But in that case, he was trolling, I guess you could say, trying to mess with Tyler Booker. I was just looking at him. I was right here by the two linemen, and guess I needed to spit, and I wasn't going to spit on my linemen, and I just spit ahead.
Saquon Barkley had 18 carries for 60 yards and a touchdown in the win. In baseball, the Pirates topped the Dodgers 5-3 to complete the three-game sweep. Yankees beat the Astros 8-4, and the Rays extended their winning streak to 7 after defeating the Guardians 4-2.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama, we are here treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611.
Are you receiving unemployment? Your benefits could be at risk.
Here's how you can protect yourself and your benefits. Never respond to mail notifying you of a false claim in your name. Never answer a text message asking you to verify your account. And only respond to official Alabama Department of Labor social media pages. Report fraud at labor.alabama.gov/fraud. Brought to you by the Alabama Department of Labor, ABA, and the station. The Alabama Department of Labor is an equal opportunity employer program. Auxiliary aids and services available upon request to individuals with disabilities. Dial 711 for TTY accessibility.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A hot afternoon, the sky partially sunny. A small chance of a shower through early tonight. The high today, 94. Tonight's low, 72. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds. A few scattered showers by afternoon. The high, 88. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 88 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
It's time for the Miller's Edge
with New York Giants legend
and South Carolina Hall of Famer Corey Miller
and his son,
four-time SEC champion
and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
And not down again. It was Christian Miller.
Here is college football playoff national champion
Christian Miller
on Tide 100.9
and 1230 AM WTBC.
WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art sport experts. If you guys are just tuning in, hour number one, we talked a little bit about the first game of the NFL season last night, but then we definitely shared our thoughts on what we want to see out of this Alabama football team this weekend as they take on ULM tomorrow night game, 6:45. Don't know why we're playing a small school at night, but it is what it is. Hope you guys are ready to stay up late. Check me out on the post-game show if I didn't fall asleep already. Hopefully I'm still up for that. That being said, we shared this with our YouTube listeners and Facebook listeners, but just wanted to throw this out there. Former defensive lineman Damon Payne, who transferred to Michigan, his defensive line coach had an interesting quote the other day. He said, we talked this week because we're playing Oklahoma. They played him last year when he was at Alabama. There's a couple of clips of him on tape. I said, man, you look different. And he goes, coach, we run a lot more here. We work out differently. I feel way better. So kind of an interesting quote, just because, I mean, now that I think about it, I read it initially as we run a lot more here, thinking like run a lot more like defensively. But now that I'm reading that again, I'm pretty sure he meant like we run a lot more in terms of like cardio, like physically. Because he followed it up by saying we work out differently. I feel way better. So I don't know, man.
He's saying his condition is much
better. Yeah, exactly.
Let's AI it and shorten it. My condition is much better here at Michigan than it was at Alabama.
Which is interesting. I will say this, though. They don't really condition after practice like that, like we used to, which is kind of interesting to me. Like, we used to always condition after practice. Sometimes coach would be nice if we had a hard practice and he'd let it, you know, do like just, you know, something really very minimal to reward us. But here, I don't think they really do too much of that. I don't know. But interesting comments there. Let's go to the phone lines because I know Rag has been waiting patiently. 205-342-9904. We got Ragged up first. Ragged, welcome in.
Hey, what's going on, team?
Hey, Ragged.
Man, you know what, Corey? I've got to really side with you on a lot of the things that you've said. You know what, and Christian, I loved your rebuttal because both of you actually have it kind of nailed here. What I would like to emphasize, I'm going to try and encompass two things. The quote is, embarrassment can be a very great motivator for change. And I want to apply that with Jalen Carter. Now, the NFL, I would love to have all the evidence if I was a detective. I wouldn't come down so hard on him because we don't know all that was going on. And I watched it unfold, I mean, from start to finish. And you just don't see what was actually happening with all the distractions. So, yeah, you know what? Embarrassment. My gosh, he got caught. Ref throws a flag, and now the NFL is going to have to do something with him. He put his team in jeopardy. I mean, that whole game could have been different. You know, because I was pro-Eagles all the way. So, enough said with that. I think that, you know what, find his bottom. Maybe if there's going to have to be a further suspension, I would just, you know what, it's kind of like the targeting thing where you have to sit out a game. Not a game, a half. You know what? So, that's about the furthest of the extent I would take on that. Now, let's come back to Alabama. Embarrassment. The POM, I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall and listened into that. Because I came out with a lot more handful of guys that really laid it out there. Okay? Those are the leaders that I would have. And then I want to see this embarrassment on the coaches to come out here and right the ship. I would start our starters one more time, just like we brought to Florida State. And man, I better see coaches getting into people's faces, bringing the fire. We got baptized by fire. That's embarrassment. Man, that burns your bottoms. And I would start being not angry, but actually addressing it at the point. What the heck were you thinking? Grab a face mask. Look in my eyes. Come on, man. You know better than that. Don't be causing no personal foul. I mean, you know what? Where were you on this play? I saw people running all around the football field trying to stop a breakdown in their defense. Okay? Bring the fire. I want to see them crush, kill, destroy ULM. And my score is 49-3. I do not want to see them score a touchdown. And I don't care how many touchdown passes, touchdown runs, just keep it going and carry it forward. It's time to plug the hole in the hull of the ship.
I like it. 49.
There it is. There. 49-3. I want it, and I don't care. 1, 2, 3 quarterbacks, different packages. Let's go. Get them in. Get the reps. We got to know what we can do moving forward. And let's get mean. Man. Let's do the junkyard dog. Come on, defense.
There you go. We'll take it. Well, we appreciate that, Ragged. I got you written down, 49-3, man. We're going to keep on rolling so we can squeeze all these people in. But I got you written down, man. I appreciate that.
Great call, Reagan. Great call.
Thank you for letting me preach. Event.
Of course. Yes, sir. Yeah. Hey, no, we'll
preach,
take it.
Brother,
we
preach,
love it.
Preach.
There you go. Preach. That's right. All right, let's keep it rolling. We got Tommy up next. Tommy, welcome in.
Hey, Clinton, how are you?
Oh, man, I'm great, brother. How are you, Tommy?
All right, can't complain. I couldn't find you today.
What about me? You're not going?
Well, I managed the sun. Well, I managed him too. Where are y'all?
Say it one more time.
I'm home.
Where are y'all? I went for the strip. I didn't see nobody.
Yeah, no, I forgot to give a heads up. So we're still kind of working out all these details. So it probably will be a little bit more towards maybe SEC time, but I'll keep you guys updated on that, Tommy. I apologize.
All right.
Last minute communication thing. That's on me.
Well, that's okay. But definitely
right. still go hang out and check them out though for sure.
The tipsy elephant may not taste the same, right, Tommy?
Might not. But Ella's like them things. They're heaven.
Well, Ellis loved those tips. Yeah, Ellis loved the tipsy elf. Yeah, Ellis does.
Yeah.
What would you like to see from how this team responds on tomorrow? What would you like to see? What would make you feel better than you felt this past week?
I want them to have some grit. I want them to have some fire and fight. I want them to get tired of losing. I mean, I don't think they have enough losing left in them. I hope not, but...
Well, if you want the playoffs, you definitely don't want to have much more left.
No. And they need to quit talking about the playoffs. Take care of this game tomorrow. I don't want to hear about Georgia. I don't want to hear about Tennessee. I don't want to hear about LSU. Take care of business tomorrow. Then the next game and the next game. Then imitate the funny. So, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. I mean,
We got a fresh opportunity tomorrow at 6:45, man. We'll see. That's what we're looking forward to seeing. I think we do see some fire. If not, I'm not going to lie to you, Tommy. But if I don't at least see fire tomorrow, I'm really going to be questioning a lot.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. Right, and what'd you say your score prediction was? Well, yeah, it's all about effort. What'd you say your score prediction? I might have missed it. What was it?
Oh, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to tell you now.
49-15? 13. 13. Yeah. 13, all right. 49-13. So we got a 49-3 and a 49-13. All right. We'll keep that written down. Like I said, I apologize, Tommy. I'll keep you updated on everything. So probably, like I said, might be closer to the first SEC game. So just... Keep that on. That's on me, man. Last minute communication thing. That's on me.
Well,
so I got 77-3. Goodness gracious, 77-3.
No, I got the main man from Atlanta. He came down. So it's all good. Don't worry about it.
Well, we appreciate you, brother, as always. We're gonna hit this timeout real quick, Tommy. And we'll hope to see you soon, brother.
Tommy from Romulus, Alabama.
There it is.
Thank you, sir.
Hope he might be off. All right. Let's go ahead and do this, Chase. Let's hit our timeout. That way we can stay on course. I know we got plenty of calls to get to. We'll keep taking those score predictions again for the ULM matchup tomorrow. Everybody's so happy and excited about 6:45 p.m. Central Time again. Alabama.
I think Tommy's got Cricket Wireless or something. He's calling from his cell phone. Cricket Wireless.
Yeah, he was calling from his phone, but I don't know what. But he does live out there, so maybe the service ain't too great.
Tommy, don't buy a phone from Walmart. I know that's what you probably did. Don't do it. Take it back.
Oh my!
It don't work good. Right.
Let's hit this quick timeout. I'm still waiting to hear back from Reagan. We'll see if we get a smoking hot picks this week again. R&R Cigars, your place for the best cigars, best humidor in the Southeast. Again, rnrcigars.com. Code Miller's Edge gets you that big discount. Don't miss out. Plus, if you need a place to go kick it and watch the game this weekend and to hang out or even before the game, check out R&R Cigars, 2703 Gary Fitz Street here in Tuscaloosa, the big mansion. You can't miss it. Over 160 bourbons that you can try. That great old humidor that they've got there as well. So make sure you guys check them out. TVs throughout, the best place to just hang out, have a good time, fellowship, enjoy a nice stick and a nice drink. Drink responsibly. Again, that is R&R Cigars, the official cigar provider of Alabama football since 2014. Quick timeout. We'll be right back. Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses.
Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping.
Saturday, September 20th at Government Plaza from 10 to 4. VIP tickets and event info at TuscaloosaOctoberfest.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact...
Free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A hot afternoon, the sky partially sunny. A small chance of a shower through early tonight. The high today, 94. Tonight's low, 72. Tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds. A few scattered showers by afternoon. The high, 88. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 89 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Support Experts. All right, let's keep on rolling on the phone lines. 205-342-9904. Again, getting you guys ready for this ULM matchup tomorrow, 6:45 Central Time here in Tuscaloosa. First home game of the season. Next up, we got Super Joe on the phone line. Super Joe, welcome in. Super Joe, you there? Going once, going twice. Guess that's a super no. We'll keep it on moving. We got Keith up next. Keith, welcome in.
What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Keith?
What up, Keith?
Don't know it, man. Hey, Pastor Corey, you straight up telling the truth, and you raised a great son. I've called in before, and I brought my son. He's a senior now at Helena. He's a receiver. I brought him to an Alabama game when Christian was playing, and I don't know. Christian just had an effect on him, man. He raised a good son, and we all look up to him. And I tell you what, man, Christian, you played at Alabama, and you know the standard. And you know, you used to see, like, in the weight room when the people were going crazy when somebody did their personal best. I'm just going to tell you, man, this dude, I know everybody's going to get crazy when I say this, man, but I knew this guy wasn't real. He's not a fit from Alabama when he got off the airplane at Tuscaloosa. This guy's before he's salt.
Dang.
I mean, I knew it, man. He's coming.
Dang.
Talk about the roll tide. Was that what it said? Roll tide.
Oh,
no, man, you got to come up here and say, I hate Auburn. I hate Tennessee. We're going to fight. That, and he never has brought that. And then he's going to stumble around and think about, I choose to believe we still have a good football team. For what? What tells you got a good football team right now? You just got skull drug, bro. I mean, this dude ain't got the fire. And what Alabama's done now, and what makes me so mad, is the people like your son, Christian, and the people, the players and the coaches who's laid it all down for the University of Alabama to build this tradition. I mean, Bear Bryant played in the Tennessee game with a broke shoulder before. You know? And you got a guy coming here. And look where we at right now. We paid $12 million to get him out of wherever he was, Washington. Now we got to pay him $7 million. I mean, if I was him, I'd want to get fired. I mean, you get $70 million to lay on the, go to the Bahamas. Why wouldn't you want to get fired? I mean,
amen,
you know what I'm saying?
Amen to that, bro. My tie,
and
please.
What, Pastor, when y'all talk, man, just like when I'm telling my son, and we're talking about, you know, when I play football, I did this, and it's always, it's funny when y'all talk, it's the same conversations we have, because at the end of the day, it's about lifting weights. It's about being hard. It's about getting up early in the morning. It's about wanting it. And, I mean, these kids, we said it to nauseam. They don't care. This guy don't care about the University of Alabama. He don't. I mean, that's just the truth. What the product he's put on, we got beat by Vanderbilt, bro. We got that started the downfall right there. You know, I don't see this getting any better. They're going to have to not build some buildings or do something to come up with the money. Until we get somebody to come in here. Until we get somebody to come in here that loves Alabama, that wants to put us back on. Look at this, man. And last year, this is what's going on right now. Last year, me and my daughter, I wasn't even going to come back to it because they've turned Bryant Denny's turned into a nightclub now. You know, we're playing South Carolina last year, and it's 3rd-1, and they have a Taylor Swift dance off. I mean, back in the day, you hear the elephant screaming, Bear Bryant talking. We got out of that game, players was in the player lot after almost losing to South Carolina at home, and South Carolina wanted it. They were in the parking lot over there like the barbecue, at the neighborhood barbecue. They didn't care because what Pastor Corey said is so true. There's no repercussions. They get that money, and they don't care. I'll pay that money. If you don't like it, I'll go somewhere else next year and play. Until we get players in there like Christian and Ruben and Mark Ingram and the people that really loves Alabama, you know, not even Derrick Henry, you know, to the Ashawn Jeffries, to the people that are dogs that love this university and love this and know what it means, and a leader to lead them. I'm telling you, I don't know if there's an SEC game this year we can win, to be honest with you. Vanderbilt?
He's preaching the gospel. I mean, and so nobody can argue what he's saying because that's what they've seen. Alabama, here's one of the most staggering stats, right? Alabama in the last 10 games is a 500 football team. So it's not even based on what happened in Tallahassee. It's just the last 10 games, right? The last 10 games. You're a 500 football team. This is Alabama. Let me say it again for the church folks in the back in the upper deck. This is Alabama. In the last 10 games, you are a 500. Go look at the SEC and look at everybody's last 10 games and see where Alabama would be. That will tell you the mediocrity that this has been surrounding this program. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable. What? That's what I'm saying. And that's why the world is going, that ain't just Alabama fans. It's the college football world. It's going nuts because you've been Alabama. And what Alabama, this product looks like right here. Go ahead.
I mean, realistically, guys, I know we got other callers, but name a SEC team right now that we're going to play this year. Back in the day, we're going to take care of them. Who? Who are we going to take care of? Oh, we're going to feel good about going to beat up Louisiana Monroe? You should beat up them. That ain't even on the side. You paying them to come up here to get beat. I don't even care about that game. What are you going to prove in that game? Oh, we ran over. We beat them 56. Who cares?
Nobody cares.
Name an SEC team that we can beat this year. And I tell you where it really going to get real, when we go down to the Chicken House and Jackson Arnold runs up and down the field on us, and maybe that'll wake some people up, and the people go out to yay Alabama instead of playing for, you know, these players are 18 years old driving G-Wagons with stacks of money in the back of it. Maybe they can come together and with $70 million and get him out of here, and we're going to go. Look, when Saban got here, and I ain't comparing, I know he ain't Saban, nobody ain't Bear Bryant, but when Saban came here, you know, he was coming out of Miami, he wanted to prove himself again. I don't even know if he had a buyout, to be honest with you. But he wanted to prove himself again. He had something to do, and he made it a life mission to say, no, I am a good coach. This dude don't care. This dude, I'm telling you, he's just like what Auburn, Harson, whatever his name was. He's the same. They tried to frame him. You remember that? They tried to frame him. And they said, hey, man, you've been cheating on your wife, you know, so you need to be, and he said, well, prove it. So they couldn't prove it. So he walked out with $15 million. So this is what this guy does. if he don't run practice, if you ain't hard, he talks that word salad on these press conferences, he's going to get $70 million, bro. That's generational money. His grandkids ain't got to work.
That's great what grandkids. We're
that's my right.
God, great grandkids.
Now, I mean, that's what we are into right now. People need to wake up. He's going to turn around. What's he going to turn around?
Listen, hold on. You said something very interesting to me. All right. So they got to play Vanderbilt, right? They got to play Tennessee. They got to play LSU. Right. They got to play Auburn. They got to play South Carolina. They got to play Oklahoma. Right? Am I missing one? That's six.
I think that's
go ahead.
Georgia. That's seven. Georgia.
You're talking about that's SEC? Georgia.
Yeah, seven and one more game. That's seven. I gave you seven. Missouri. That's eight.
Okay, we might win.
That's your eight games. So out of those eight games, based on what you've seen last week, how many wins or how many of those games will Alabama be favored in right now?
Maybe Missouri. That's it.
Maybe Missouri or Vanderbilt. That's the only two.
Yeah, and I ain't sure about Vanderbilt, you know? I'm telling you,
bro,
I've seen more fight
team.
Out of my daughter's flag football team. Them girls were about ready to throw hands. I saw more fight out of them last Saturday in Prattville in their tournament. Them girls than I have seen in this team, man. They got run over, slammed out. I mean, it's like Pee Wee football. I mean, this is Alabama, bro. So I don't know what the answer is. Like I said, maybe sell off of some of the. I mean, Greg Byrne, bro. I'm gonna call him out too. You go after the Jimbo Fisher. Everybody knew what happened. Everybody talked about it for years. And then you go write a buyout for $70 million to a guy that's been a head coach for 4 years? What? And the board of trustees must have been drunk to sign off on that. But anyway, it is what it is, man. We got a long road.
Hey, listen, can change. There's a Bible scripture that says, weeping may endure for a night, but let's pray for joy in the morning. Let's pray for some joy in the morning.
You're right, brother.
All right.
Hey, I just want to tell you, bro.
Keith, we appreciate you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Be easy, man. Roll Tide. Oh, man. Keith is bringing that fire, man. But I'll say this, though. Right? I'll defend them because I will say I've been up there. I do know. Coach DeBoer does care. He really does. And he's trying. He is a good coach. I just think he's just got to figure out how to get his, like Slade called it, like that recipe for success, how to get that to really marinate. Because we've got players. He is a good football coach. I mean, that's a fact, right? There's some disconnect between players, coaches, them not, like, again, like with the whole effort and lack of physicality, lack of intent. Like, if he can find a way to get that in sync, I'm telling you, this whole thing can get corrected and be good. I just want to throw that out there. I wanted to spin it in a way that, again, and I'm not saying that that's a guarantee. I'm just saying that to me, if they can figure out that piece, right, as a culture, they will be fine. Like, I promise you, because he knows ball. He's a good coach.
Well,
and we've got good players.
Carlos Williams on the chat says they are still favored against everybody except Georgia.
I'm not going to lie to you now. That Auburn game does kind of, knowing how Jackson Arnold looked in week one with him running around.
Please, Carlos, tell me where you found that at.
Well, we'll look it up. Let's hit this timeout so we can stay on schedule, because also, forgot to tell you guys, Gus Malzahn joined a podcast the other day, and he was talking about the game, and he had some interesting comments. So we got a couple other things we'll throw at you coming back right on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230, WTVC.
Home of Alabama sports. We are a championship school, and school is in session.
Makes a catch, makes them bang into each other, stays on his feet, breaks a tackle, scores.
Join us.
a Saturday as the Crimson Tide welcome the ULM Warhawks to Tuscaloosa. Our coverage begins at 3:30 on your home for Alabama football. The Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online.
Up offering fuel efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-91.
Gaming platforms. Don't miss out. We're just a short drive away on 2059 exit 45 in Utah, where the odds are always in your favor. Powered by RAD.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact...
Go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Into this free-for-all Friday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 W. Listening to you guys on the phone lines again, getting score predictions, all that good stuff. You guys want to throw in an offense, defense, MVP, why not? We'll do that too. But then during the breaks on our YouTube stream, again, at the Miller's Edge, you guys can watch and do the show. Been listening to Coach Saban. He is on the Pat McAfee show and was talking about Alabama. Just to recap what he said, he really was just talking about utilizing the bench, right? If guys aren't doing what they're supposed to, but trying to find ways not only just to get on them, but, you know, reinforce the positive, which is true. He used to do that with us. But then obviously you really need to hone in on the negatives too. But anyway, you guys can catch Coach Saban on the Pat McAfee show as well. But we don't have enough time to play it all through. So we're kind of splitting it up and doing all that stuff. I did want to just play a couple seconds of this, though. I thought this was interesting. If you were kind of wondering what went into the – I know everybody's like, oh, we want to move on. We're moving on, but this is Gus Malzahn, who, you know, again, offense coordinator for Florida State. He was just talking about his approach, that game plan. I just thought it was interesting getting his thoughts specifically. So he had a couple of comments real quick. I just wanted to play real quick regarding that matchup against Alabama.
The line really did a super job. For the first time, we had five new starters. They never played together. We were kind of beat up in the spring, and we only had like 2 weeks of really practice, you know, before we played them. So it was really good. Real proud of our offense.
So basically you're saying practice is overrated, Coach? That's what you're saying?
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying since we've been here, our guys have been beat up in the spring. It was like we had 16 guys out. Fall camp, we had some hit and misses, and we finally had all of our 11, you know, the last 2 weeks of practice, and it was really good. They responded good. The first game's about adjustments, and I was so impressed with my guys, the way they adjusted, because Alabama threw some different things at us that we hadn't seen on film, and we had to adjust.
When you came into the game plan this week, like, or with Alabama, and you saw them and you knew them, like, you know what they do. You know who they are. You know they've got monsters. But, like, using Lucas, using misdirections, running the fake counter reverse, like, all the different things. Like, how do you decide when you put in certain things or when you call certain trick plays and when you go to your staples where you're going to run unbalanced out of the sugar huddle and do your different things?
Well, our old plan, I mean, it was good, you know, having them first game. We had all summer to think about it. And really what I wanted to do, I wanted to throw the book at them early. I mean, I wanted to make their keys lie to them, give the ball, run counter tray ops, or run the quarterback. And it was plays to set up plays, too. And the goal was to take away their aggressiveness, that they would be thinking we could call anything. And then we could just line up and start going downhill at them. So it worked out real well. And our players really, you know, did a super job with that.
So that was Gus Malzahn basically talking about his game plan. Just kind of interesting how he put it. He said, we wanted to throw everything at them initially. And to our point of the whole, you know, smoke and mirrors, eye candy thing. That's basically what he said. They wanted to open it up, let it rip early on. That way they caused that confusion, right? That hesitancy, and then just kind of just run what they wanted to run. So obviously ended up working. It was a good game plan by him, but just thought that was interesting, him just kind of sharing his thoughts on his thought process going into that game. Plus, he was talking about how they didn't really even have much time to really work together. So he was actually impressed and pleased with their continuity.
Well, that just tells you everything is a coaching issue, as I said. A lot of it is coaching issue. So that just tells me that he outcoached Kane Womack, ran circles around him. And the fact that 2 weeks to get things done and the way they played is amazing. So that tells you a little bit more, even with, you know, yeah, he said something, taking away their physicality. And he did that. And so that could be good or bad news for Alabama and folks like us saying, well, they were soft. Well, maybe they made them soft. Maybe the formation and put them in wrinkles, which can happen. Which can happen when you're struggling defensively and you don't know what's going on. Obviously, you put play soft. And so you're looking at it and you believe that, and you say, well, that's not more of a coaching issue than the true physicality of the player. But still, hustle and heart and discipline still goes into that. But very interesting. He did his thing. He outcoached Kane Womack, and the results were what they are, I should say.
And to be fair, he outcoached our older coaching staffs that, you know, had a lot of success a number of times. I mean, that, and we knew that going into that game, talking about what he wanted to do, but just hearing it from his mouth, saying they wanted to throw so much at him that way, they caused all that, and then, you know, really just hit him how they wanted to. Obviously, he's a very tenured coach. We know his system, everything that comes with it, expected it, but obviously he operated it nearly to perfection. And again, his players really got to tip the hat to the players. They're the ones that went out there and executed. So there's that. Let's go back to the phone lines, 205-342-9904. We got Ellis up next. Ellis, welcome in.
What's up, gentlemen?
What's up, Ellis?
What's up, Ellis?
What's up? I've been busy. I had to install a hot water heater at my house. Never done it before, but I said I wasn't going to hire nobody to do it, so I done it myself.
That doesn't shock me one bit, man. I mean, you just put that in more and more tools. Just make sure you did everything correctly, else I don't want to hear about no mishaps, brother.
Oh, no. I had somebody make sure about the electricity before I done anything. Made sure it was all turned off. Made sure it was all correct when I put it back together, and everything was good.
I'm glad.
No leaks. I got a knock on my head for wood, you know, for good luck. So,
wow. Well, you're good.
You're very talented, Ellis. You're very talented, my brother.
I appreciate it. I know it's, you know, we need to quit talking about that, but I've been listening to you, and I could tell when you come on Monday that you was Christian, that you were very disappointed in them football players.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, week one, man, it's just that's just not how you want to see your team come out. And then again, just real brief, again, and just like I said all the time last year, it's not about losing, right? You know, you're going to lose football games. Nobody's perfect. Hell, I've lost football games. Even though there weren't that many in college, we still lost.
Yeah.
It's the fashion and how we have lost those last four or five games, whatever it is, five games, I guess. That's the most disappointing thing, man. If you get beat because you're playing a good team, like, you know, we lost to Clemson in the national championship game and went down to it. You know, we, you know, played a whole bunch of snaps back. I mean, that's one thing. You're playing a really good football team. Like, you know, you don't always win football games, but when you lose and you're seeing lack of effort and toughness and just like the intangibles, things that guys can control, it's disappointing, man.
Yeah, it is. It's very disappointing. It's disappointing for fans, you know, but I'm not going to jump off the cliff, and I don't want nobody fired, you know, because who are you going to get? we got one that called in Ryan's show that said we ought to hire John Gruden.
Well, he's trying to make a comeback. Hey, listen, man, I know he's got some stuff out there, you know, off the field, but You talk about a dude that loves ball, and he coached some guys up. He ain't afraid to put nobody on the bench, boy.
No. But, you know, still, though, you know, who you going to get, you know? And then it's just ridiculous to even think that.
Yeah. But who are you going to get to pay him $70 million to go to?
Well, I'll be honest. I think it's way too early to be going there. I know a lot of people. Look, I know it's an emotional time because of the frustration. But to be fair, I think we got to be a little more patient right now. If this continues through this year, even though it's year two, I'm not going to lie. I mean, and those types of performances, I think that's one thing. But I'm not ready to go there after just week one, man. I'm going to have a little bit more patience.
Go ahead.
I was going to say it's too early right now, week two. But after the season, if it smells like anything last year, then you got to start talking about it for real.
Yeah.
But not with that bio, I don't think that.
Well, I mean,
maybe assistants, but I don't think I personally don't think.
I think the first demand is make coaching change. That's what normally happens. They come and say, "Hey, man, D coordinator, blah blah blah. You got to make changes." They demand that from up top, and then if that don't work out, then that third year is hasta la vista.
It could be a thing. We end up running the table and ends up being 10-2, making the playoffs, and we forget what happened week one. That's why I'm saying it's just so early. You just don't know. Go ahead, Ellis.
I understand, but from the number 1 to 10, you know, 10 meaning that you're ready to jump off the ledge or whatever about it and go crazy and sling crap all over the place. I'm like at a 2.5 right now.
Okay, so you're still pretty low on your levels. Okay, well, that's good to know then. We ain't got to worry about you. I had a couple people call me and said they almost hopped off, and I said, no, don't do that.
I'm at a zero because there's nothing in life, especially no stupid football game, going to make me even think about Harry Carey. But, listen, man, if you let an 18 to 22-year-old have that type of pull on your life, just call my number, 1-800. Let me holler at you. but my thing is, man, listen, what we hope for, as hard as I have been, what I hope is that they do turn it around, that they do, when we get to Georgia in 3 weeks, they are competitive and maybe win that game. But I do hope they come to South Carolina with being one loss, and that game is the ESPN game day game. I hope they are. I mean, I'm not hoping that they fail. I'm not hoping that Kalen DeBoer fails. I hope he turns things around. I'm just saying they got to change. There has to be some urgency. Let me throw this word out there. The urgency has to be there now. And if they're not urgency and it's not shown in this game against ULM and or Wisconsin, then they are going to lose his fan base. Kalen DeBoer is going to lose his fan base, and people are going to really start calling for his job. That's the sensitivity. That's what, you know, Pat McAfee was talking about. Like, it's going to happen. It's already happening after one game. But the way they have lost, it's not the one game, it's the last 10. You're 5-5. You lost to an unranked FSU, dominated in the trenches. You lost to an unranked Vanderbilt team that you've never met. Nick Saban got embarrassed because he said, man, that's one game we never worried about. Then they go and lose that and get beat in the run game, get dominated in the trenches. You lose to an Oklahoma team who weren't good at all last year, dominated 200-plus yards rushing.
Dominated, yes.
Right. You go to bowl game, Michigan, their best players don't even play in the game, and you go out there and you get embarrassed. I mean, so as Christian said, it's about how they're losing. The domination in the trenches, the physicality positions, is a problem because that says a whole lot of other things, and that's why people are freaking out.
Yeah, true. Correct. You know, if they were like close games and we still lost, it wouldn't have been that bad. But if, like you said, it's how we lost the game. You know,
if they were competitive and the offense moved and defense had some stops and, you know, it came down to it, they went in by 3 or 2 and then Castellanos breaks a tackle and gets them in, you know, field goal position. They kick it and win at the end of the game. People still be upset, but we wouldn't be having these in-depth conversations about being soft and about they just got caught up as game one. You know, then there's other excuses that you can use. But the way they lost and the way they got embarrassed, the way they didn't compete, the way they got knocked off the ball, that makes people have other kinds of thoughts, right? And so that's where we are now. And it's something, and they can change it. They got 11 games left to change the narrative. Focus on changing the narrative going forward. That's all you got to do.
Absolutely. Hey, Ellis, give us a score prediction real quick because we only got a few minutes left and we want to squeeze in the next couple callers if we can.
Okay. I'm headed down to Alabama as we speak, but I'm going to say 42-14.
42-14.
Roll.
We got it. Well,
Ellis. Roll Tide.
Yes, sir. And be safe on that road. Ellis, we appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir. I'll be in the stands hollering and screaming.
Oh, that you will, brother. I already know that. Ellis. See you, brother. All right, let's. We got Troy from Salt Lake City up next. Troy, welcome in.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate your bringing some common sense perspective. Enjoy your show. Listening from Salt Lake City while I'm at work. Just want to point out one of the interesting things that Kalen DeBoer inherited when he took over this program was not just everything at the program itself and Nick Saban related, but the emotions of the fan base. And that's been on full display this last week after the FSU game. And so I think the reason what motivated me to call was a prior caller. I think an emotional reaction saying that Kalen DeBoer doesn't care. I think that that is a way premature overreaction. Right now, nobody knows. I don't know if Kalen DeBoer is going to succeed. And the fans who are claiming that we know now he's not the right fit, not the right culture, he can't do the job, they don't know that either. We've got the data from last year, we've got the game against FSU, but we've got his whole prior history before coming to Alabama, including beating top-tier coaches, taking Washington to the national championship game. So we've got juxtaposing data, both positive and negative, related to Kalen DeBoer, and he's trying to negotiate in the midst of the emotions and expectations of an Alabama fan base that's had unprecedented success never before seen in the history of college football. And I think that the fan base needs to take a deep breath, like you gentlemen are suggesting, give DeBoer a little bit of time, see what happens moving forward. He may not succeed, but dang it, he just might. And so I think that, unfortunately for him, that's one of the biggest factors right now that concerns me the most is the emotions of the fan base going to let him do that. What impact is it going to have on recruiting as recruits see? What impact does it have on players when they see themselves getting shot to heck on social media? And saying that they've got no heart. Yeah, things didn't go well against FSU. But I think that right now, in my view, the biggest obstacle Kalen DeBoer has to overcome is the Alabama fan base.
I mean, that's definitely an interesting perspective. It is well said. And I think part of him, you know, knew what he was signing up for, but I don't think you really understand it until you actually live it. And I think he's finally kind of really living it. And it's true. You're right. I mean, the expectations are unprecedented. They were set by, you know, a run that was unprecedented. I know, you know, Bear Bryant, but that was years ago. And you're talking about Coach Saban was doing it, you know, in the last two decades, right? It's just such a high level that anybody that followed Coach Saban, I mean, hopefully at least had some idea what to expect. But you're right, though. You got to have patience, let things play out. I mean, it still is very early. Like my dad was just saying, too, I mean, look, before they immediately, you know, look at one person, they might make a couple more changes here and there and see how things go. You never know. I mean, because even if this year's not great, they could come out swinging year three and run the table. I mean, a lot of the times, think about it, year three is normally the year they always say is when the coach, the new coach, gets his system in place, his culture in place, and that's where you typically see them really take off. I mean, remember, that was the whole deal with Texas, so to speak. But,
but Kalen DeBoer's Kalen DeBoer, his resume states that it's year two that every program that he has been at where he's won. And people look at that as well. But again, it was a horrible display of what they put on the field. And it goes back to the 10 games. It goes back to the four losses to four unranked teams where Nick Saban, like you said, is unprecedented that he had four of those in 17 years, right? And so Kalen already has four. So it puts up this sign, like, what in the world's happening? And so, but here's the thing. If you go out and play, you take care of ULM, because you're going to play one game at a time, right? No need to try to change the season. You're going to do one game at a time, one quarter at a time. and change the narrative. And then you get Georgia. You're going to have a chance in 3 weeks, 2.5 weeks, again on a national stage to take this kind of conversation that we've been hearing. And if you go beat Georgia, guess what happens? Silence. Crickets has happened. And then that they'll come back. So he's going to have a chance to turn this thing around. I think as coaches, that's what they do. They know that. Let's get better. Let's find the right players. We got a couple of weeks. We can do that. We can move some guys around, try this guy, try that guy. And then by the time we get to Georgia, I promise you, they have that game circled. They're going to be the underdog. People are going to be saying the last time we saw Alabama, they were terrible. And they're going to be saying Florida State. And hopefully that propels them to play this game at a whole different level. And then you go down to between the hedges and you upset Georgia, you're going to be right back into that conversation.
Yeah, and all, but the only, and I just say this real quick, the only thing that worries me is that's kind of what happened last year, except we didn't really have the loss yet. But think about it. We beat George and everybody was on the high horse and everybody, I mean, they had everybody fooled. And then it just, the consistency. So hopefully even if that does happen, you see the consistency and that being different from last year. Troy, you want to give us a score prediction real quick, man? Because we only have about a minute or so left. I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, 42-17 Alabama.
42-17. Is it first time? First time calling, Troy?
Yeah, it is. It is. First time calling. Yeah, let me show as much as I can while I'm at work. But I love
Salt Lake City, buddy. I've been out there before, and I love my man Jimmy Mack. You know, he talks about Utah and BYU and all the beautiful, it's a beautiful place out there. So take care out there in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, thank you. I love Alabama. Miss it. Went to law school there, so I got baptized completely back in '91. I was there under the Gene Stallings national championship years. So roll tide.
Oh wow.
Oh nice.
Roll tide,
buddy.
Appreciate
you calling, Troy.
Be
roll
blessed,
tie.
Man. Be blessed, bro.
Yes, sir. All right, before we get out of here, I'll give a quick score prediction. I'm going to go 48-10. We've already talked about what we need to see out of it, so I'm going to save that. Players of the game, is it even worth it at this point? Just give me Ty Simpson on offense and give me, I don't even know on tape.
Who's over there?
Give me, I don't know, Xavier Brown. Maybe he gets the interception. Right. I don't even know.
All right. Give me on. Alabama winning this game 2-0. 2-0. Out of my point.
What?
2-0. Listen, I don't care what the score is. I want to see fire. I want to see some P.O. people in Alabama uniforms Saturday playing like a bunch of crazed, psychotic, out-your-brain dogs that's busting people in the mouth, okay? Make them smell their socks. You hit them so hard. I don't care what the score is. I want to see effort. I want to see attitude. I want to see discipline. I want to see desire. I want you to play like you're hungry and you're thirsty for blood. That's what I want to see. Forget the score. As Nick Saban said, don't worry about the scoreboard. Go play the game the way it's supposed to be played. And that's it. The score will settle itself. The scoreboard will say for what it needs to be said for. Go play, change the narrative of softness, lack of toughness. Get rid of that. That's the worst thing anybody in football could ever call you. And if this game means anything to you, you will change that narrative. And maybe the tow truck will bypass the parking lot at Malmore.
Oh, man. That being said, we got to get out of here. We got Wyatt coming up next right here. Tied on the point 9, 1230 WTBC. Appreciate you guys. We'll see you guys Monday, hopefully with a good report right here on the Miller's Edge presented by the Good Feet Store.